First of all, I will say I am so honored to be on this podium to talk to you on a topic that I struggle with. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. So he's going to do the work here. Father, we come before you and we thank you for this beautiful moment that we will spend together in your presence. We thank you, first of all, that we are alive and that we are healthy. So come speak and give us listening ears and work in our hearts in those areas where we are struggling, and help us, Lord, to do the best we can through your strength. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to log in into my computer. So when Kristen reached out to me, she shared some of the lies and the truths that we have. So the lie is, my life needs to appear perfect and presentable. I must control it all. And the truth is, God's strength is displayed when we acknowledge our weaknesses before him and others. Our weakness gives way to sharing the strength we have found in Christ. So we do have some notes on your table, the green and the yellow one. We're going to go to an activity. Try and take one of each color. So you take both the green and the yellow. And we'll focus on the yellow for now. Do you have enough? Okay. Okay. So we are on the yellow one. Write down 5 key qualities of a good mom. It can be just points. It doesn't have to be a sentence. So this will be like a 5-minute exercise, and when you are done, you're going to have a table discussion. So try and highlight similarities in your key qualities on your table among each other.
Really good.
All right. So who wants to share? I'll go with the table here. I think each table is going to give us their top three qualities that they all have similar. Patience, okay. Loving. Dependable, okay. The next table, please. Listener, good. Exceptional?
Sacrificial,
yes. All right. Next.
We had
the same? Okay. Good. Mary's table. Mary, your table. Ooh. I'm so glad I'm in the midst of godly people here. All right, your table.
With the same thing, patient, loving, God-focused, or Christ-centered.
Okay. The last table, please.
Exact same thing.
And the only reason why these things are similar is because you surround yourself in the Word of God. So what I'm going to say here today will not be strange to you. So do you know a good mom who feels completely sure she's doing a good job and never criticizes herself? Most likely not. So we all want the best for our children so much that we are terrified of making mistakes. All moms are quick to notice our failures and slow to realize that we are doing a good job. Even the best mom doubts herself. So I have three pointers to this question. Am I a good mom? We have highly set standard, and we have criticisms from Satan, and then we have God's standard of that definition. Am I a good mom? So we're going to look at the highly set standard. This is mostly the world view. You know, in the world today, it's unfortunate that most times we find ourselves assessing our performances with this world's view of being a good mom. And it could be, you must be a replication of your mom. And understand me, there is nothing wrong in this worldview. And I'm going to talk about how we can channel this worldview to God's standard. And this is going to be an interesting one. It could be an idealized version of motherhood you've seen on a TV. A mom who has all the answers, makes the best cookies, works full time, has plenty of time for her kids, and even serves as a PTA president. And you're going to be like, oh my goodness, there's no way in this world I will be like that woman. And then it could also be very protective, goes extra miles, support her children always. She ensures they are clothed, fed, and is available to them when needed. A good mom loves and hugs her kids. Another worldview is a good mom has to be accepting. It must give her children autonomy and let them be expressive. Adaptable, you know, a good mom goes with the flow, you know. Oh, just go with the flow of the way the kids are saying it. You just have peace. World's view. Attentive. Oh, you gotta just put the phone down and cover mommy and me time all the time. Nothing wrong with that. Authentic. You just have to be confident and follow your heart. Does that sound worldview? So, we have all measured ourselves by these qualities. And nothing is wrong with this quality. Other than it's a worldview, it is not channeled through the Word of God. Now, let's talk about the criticisms from Satan. You know, those doubts that come in your mind when you know you're surely doing your best as a mom. And I will be personal here. So, as a full-time working mom, I found myself condemned by Satan over the decisions I took on my career. I have had times when I felt I was not giving my children all the time they needed from me because my friends are at the park almost every day during summer with their children. I had seasons where I struggled to associate myself with other moms in the church because the enemy put the lie in my heart that they would criticize me for being a full-time working mom. And God's words are powerful and they have every answer to our doubts. Which is why I will talk about God's standard of being a good mom. Because God used Proverbs chapter 31 to deliver me from this devil's guilt. So turn your Bible to Proverbs 31. I'm going to read quickly and I will draw a focus on some verses here. I am reading from the New King James Version and I will read from verse 10 to 31. Who can find a vicious wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hand holds the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hand to the needy. She's not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. So let's focus on verse 30. This woman, it says, beauty and charm is deceitful. They are passing. If you look at it all, the characteristics of this virtuous woman focused on a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. If this woman does not fear the Lord, all these characteristics, all these praise that have been listed here about her would be void. What brought this praise is not to her. It's that she is devoted to God. So on that note, we're going to look at some characteristics of godly mom, which is what we all are. So, a godly mom stays off the roller coaster, okay? And what do I mean? So, every age and stage has its unique ups and downs. You know, 1 minute, your toddler is enjoying a day at the park. The next, he's melting down because you won't let him eat the gum stuck on the bottom of the swing. You know, at 7 a.m. in the morning, your daughter says, "You are the best mom." And by dinner, you are the worst because you won't let her go to a party that everyone else's parents says yes to. Or you wouldn't even let her go for a sleepover that just does not make sense to the child. It's okay. And because a godly mom is steadfast, and you see that quality of steadfastness in Psalm 26, verse 12. She's steadfast in her faith and firmly rooted in God's word. She stays off her child's emotional roller coaster. Her foundation of faith keeps her stable and strong, regardless of her child's highs and lows. She disciplines her children out of love and not anger. So Hebrews 12, verse 11. I'm going to quickly read that for us. So Hebrews 12, verse 11 says, "Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." And you know, when it comes to correcting our kids, sometimes as a mom, you feel like, you know, you will have this condemnation that will go through your heart. I think I overdid it. And sometimes it's actually necessary and appropriate because it might seem to be painful, but it pays off later on. I watched a TV show of a lady, the neighbor called the police for her. Actually, it's a real TV show. And that the child has been screaming in the house, that they're not sure what is happening over there. So the police came, and the kid confirmed that, yeah, they were spanking me. So the dad... At this time, it's the dad. The lady was the one that got reported, but the dad stepped into the position and said, "What are you in my house? What are you doing here?" And the police was like, "Oh, we got a call that you've been maltreating this son of yours, and we really wanted to know what's going on." The dad told him, "Get out of my house, because when he turns 18, if I don't correct him now, you'll be the first to throw him in jail." And the police had no other say than to turn around, heading in his car, and left. But that's a guy that understands that correction is needed and is necessary at the appropriate time. Your identity is rooted not in your child's opinion, but in who Christ says you are. So a godly mom can set boundaries and make parenting decisions based on scripture rather than what's popular or convenient. Can someone read Isaiah 26, verse 3 for us?
Three. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusted in you.
Because he trusted in you. And this is just the word of God. When we trust in the Lord in raising our kids, he will keep us in perfect peace. So, the next point here, she humbly asks for forgiveness and extends grace, even to herself. That's another characteristic of a good mom. "I have misjudged my children and blamed them for actions they never took." I actually recently did that. It was a chocolate that I kept on the table. And I thought my youngest was the one that took that chocolate. I never believed my son did that because he is not a chocolate person, and he happened to be that he was the one that took the chocolate. And so, you know, when you talk about being humble and asking for forgiveness, it can be hard, you know. I had to swallow my pride because I had my mama's cap on. "You should not come into my room and take the chocolate," you know. And now I'm accusing someone that didn't even do it. So I had to swallow my pride, and I asked them to forgive me. And I didn't ask the one that I accused. I asked all of them to forgive me. It was hard initially to ask for that forgiveness, but I'm telling you, when I rendered that forgiveness request, I felt so light. Humility helps us apologize to our children and spouse when we get it wrong, and even extend ourselves a little grace. Guilt, perfectionism, and anxiety may be everyday struggle for all of us here, but they rob us of joy and distract us from what God has asked us to do that day. If you watch closely, you will see that actually happens in your life. We've been forgiven much, so we love much. This was what God, Jesus talked about Mary when she anointed him. She said she's been forgiven much, so she loved much. And generously extending grace to others when they need it is really important. Even that person that is staring back at you in the mirror, it's good to extend grace to that person. You can read this one later on your own. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 15. It talks about grace. So the other point that I have here is, so when I put this point and I started praying, I was like, God, I just pray that this word will not judge me, but rather it will build me up. And in me, it says, a good man builds others up. A good mom knows her words have the power to tear down or build up her family and those around her. So she does her best to honor the Lord in her conversation and avoid gossip, and also assume the best about others. There's no such thing as a one-size-fits-all approach when it comes to parenting and discipline. So she builds her kids up by understanding their individual needs and their unique gifts. My kids are three of them are totally different. One is just so nice, soft-hearted. The other one is like, if I don't use that energy, I will be running insane in that house, because my son is full of energy, and I struggled with it earlier on, and I kept complaining. Until one day, my husband said, why don't you ask God to give you wisdom on how to channel this boy's energy? Now, that boy is the best cleaner ever that I have in that house. He will do everything I ask him to do. He'll be like, can I just go outside and play once I'm done? That's all he requires. I'm like, I struggled all these years with the energy God has given you, but God gave you this energy to support me, and I never used it. All that I did was to see that I just cannot handle this amount of energy. And then the youngest is just quiet, wants to play, but don't cross her path. So they're all different kids. So there's no one-size-fits-all approach. And a good mom views her role not only as a steward of her children's life, but also as an opportunity to live out the gospel in her community, in her church, and in the relationship she builds with others every day. So we're going to read three passages here regarding this. Proverbs 31:26. Someone, please. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 26. We were just there.
She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue.
She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. You know, when you're so upset, and I know some people are really good at it, they just keep quiet. My husband keeps quiet and he turns red. That's when I know, whoops, there is a problem. But that's, you know, that's to first of all, having that control so that when you open your mouth, it will have what? Wisdom and kindness coming out of it. You have processed whatever. You know, the way the science has it is, so we receive message from the back of our head, from the spine, right? And what happens is that our rational side of the brain is in front here. So for the message to make it here, it has to go through the emotional side, which is in the middle. And that's why you see most people are extremely emotional, because their brain cannot just push that information past that middle. But when you give it time and you don't react, you don't talk, you don't just do anything, and you take a deep breath, gradually that message will go through your emotional cell and straight to your rational side of your brain, which is when you make the right decision and the right answer, which is when you give words of wisdom and full of kindness. Colossians chapter 3, 16 through 17. Someone?
Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
Amen. Whatever you do, whether you're folding those clothes that you asked them to fold and they dropped it everywhere in the house, or whether you realize that the kitchen sink has not been cleaned and you ask someone to help you out, but you know that you just looking at it is irritating you, and the best thing you will do is to go clean it. Whatever you do, the Bible says, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So this applies to every aspect of our life, not just with our children or our family. The last passage that I have on this category is Ephesians 4:29. And it says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. You know, what we say to our children when we are angry sticks in their brain. That's what they will remember. Especially when you're angry and they are actually expecting a reaction that is very negative from you. Imagine if the words you speak is full of grace and kindness, what that does to that child's heart. Now, I'm not good at this, because trust me, I yell at them sometimes. and I lose it. And I'm going to talk about that later, because the previous chapter you read in Colossians talked about psalms and hymns, and I'm going to tell you guys something about that. But before then, we're going to do another activity. You're going to use the green one now. So I was intentional about the color. So you know how we do yellow, green, and red. I didn't bring any red cards here because I don't believe there is any bad mom among you people. I brought a yellow one because we all have ways and areas where we will improve. And the green one is going to be our commitment to being a good mom according to God's standards. So write down your commitment on that green card, how you're going to be a good and a better mom according to God's standards. And once you're done, you're going to share with others on your table how they can pray for you as you work on these commitments. Okay. So in conclusion, my husband has been traveling for work lately, and I must manage the home in his absence. I mean, this includes the spiritual needs. Sorry, I got a meeting popping up. This includes the spiritual needs of my family as well. So one day, I couldn't hold it together. I mean, I totally lost it. And I called him while he was in Northeast Asia to come pick up his kids. And know that I didn't say my kids. I said, come pick up your kids. You know, I had, it's not only children that have meltdown. I had an adult meltdown that day. It was too much. I just felt so overwhelmed. And these children were not even listening. And I felt I lost control over my children. And I couldn't handle it anymore. You might be wondering what his response was. He encouraged me in God's word and told me the Lord is my strength. And he asked me to put on the music as God will use that to minister to me at that moment. And he was right. I just said, Alexa, play Chris Tomlin from Spotify. And believe it or not, God does wonders. And as the song was playing, because the kids were there when I called their dad, you could see the quietness in the house. And everybody started to disappear to go do whatever chores that have been given to them to do. And the music really worked. It really ministered to my soul that moment. You know, our sole desire is to be God's woman and love him fervently with our whole heart. That's our sole desire. But we do have challenges that come on our way. Luke chapter 40, verse 22. It's about Mary. This is a very familiar story that we know. Mary and Martha, Lazarus' sisters. Luke chapter 10, verse 42. It says, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good path, which will not be taken away from her, is a heart that is devoted to God. Mary chose that one thing, which is a heart that is devoted to God. And what happens is we get deepened in our relationship with him. We get plugged in. It's like a mesh. It's like a spider web. When you get devoted, you get into the spider web of God's relationship with his Son and the Holy Spirit. We've all had seasons when we felt like failures. Regardless of the cause for a hard season or the ages of our children, the mind of a mom is where way too many battles take place. And we constantly fight the lies of the enemy, telling us we aren't good enough and never will be. We may at times even question God as to why he made us mothers to these precious children when we are in no way feel worthy or qualified or capable. I have found comfort in reading Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, which says, for everything there is a season and a time for every activity under heaven. So the rest of that verse, of the verses in that chapter, you know, dwell upon different seasons and times. You have a time to born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to harvest, a time to tear down and a time to build up, a time for pain and healing and breaking and mending, you know, crying and laughing. Life is full of ups and downs, good times and bad times, easy seasons and hard ones, but nothing shocks God. Amen? His plans are always perfect, including blessing us with our roles as mothers. Because of that, we can have confidence in the call to parent the children he gave us. So, stop trying hard. Again, stop trying hard and surrender to God's leadership in your parenting responsibilities. We can rest in the fact that he will never leave us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you've shared your word upon our lives and you've edified our spirits. We have areas where we struggle, and you know each and every one of us in this room. And you know areas where we need to make improvement, and you know all the commitments that the mothers here have written down. We pray for your strength as we devote our lives in you and spending time with you and deepening our relationship with you. We pray that you strengthen us and encourage us to be a better mom and show examples to our children. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you very much.